Hello.
I'm August.
And I'm Kendra.
And welcome to Book Dumb, a bookcast brought to you by a couple of dummies.
Today, we're going to be talking about our favorite audiobooks.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll be going through, I think we each have 5 picks. Mm-hmm. Of course, some honorable mentions because we cannot decide.
Who are we to resist ourselves?
But I guess before we get into the episode, what are you reading right now?
This is one that I just finished and actually a book that I listened to, and it's going to be an honorable mention. I'm going to just let everyone know that right now. And that's Me Talk Pretty One Day by David Sedaris.
Oh.
It's the first book of his I ever read. And fuck, I was laughing so hard. It is so, so good. I think you know that I am typically a fan of a sad read. The bigger the bummer, the better for me. But I just really needed something light. I needed something that was entertaining. And this collection of essays was just exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And I highly, highly, highly recommend.
I might need it and you can pick me up. So that sounds good.
It's really good. It's also only like 5 hours long. Ooh. So a pretty quick read as well. What are you reading right now?
Well, I just started. So I'm barely into it. But The Midnight Library. I'm listening to the audiobook. So The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. But Carey Mulligan narrates it, and
baby,
I didn't know that until I started listening to it. It was like, narrated by Carey Mulligan, and I was like...
I always mix Carey Mulligan up with, what's that one other actress?
I can't help you there.
Oh, fuck. Is Carey Mulligan the one in Gatsby?
Yeah.
Okay, right? Then who's the other... Who am I thinking of? Was she the one married to Mumford & Sons?
I don't know, but I mixed her up with Michelle Williams.
That's who I'm thinking of. I always mix up Carey Mulligan and Michelle Williams.
They look very similar.
Yeah,
I think.
And I feel like they do like similar roles as well. They're both very talented, so love to see.
Yeah.
Which one's in Drive?
Williams?
I think so, yeah. I love them both.
I don't know, actually.
Who knows? But that sounds like a cool narrator.
Yeah.
Love that. Very love exciting. A celebrity reader.
It's always fun. And obviously, if you're a great actor, then you're probably a good voice actor. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So audiobooks. Let's talk about them. Where do you listen to audiobooks, Kendra?
Right now, almost exclusively Libby.
Really?
I know I have Hoopla too. I just think Libby's my default.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a few Audible books that are just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I canceled my Audible membership, but I just have leftover credits because that's just how the world works, and I've been saving them.
They're trying to win you back as well, sending you credits.
Yeah, I got like 3 extra credits after I canceled the first time, like 6 months ago. They're like, a year ago. I had like 2 credits just left over, and they're like, when I went to cancel, they're like, we'll give you 3 credits today if you stay on. And I was like, cool, I'll stay on for a month, and got those 3 credits. And also, they just have, like, great Audible exclusives with, like, professional full casts or celebrities. So sometimes I do use Audible.
Yeah, I've used Audible in the past, but like you, I pretty much only use Libby these days. I also like Hoopla a lot. I listen to Me Talk Pretty One Day on Hoopla. And just for those who don't know, Libby and Hoopla are available through the public library, at least here in the United States. I don't know about elsewhere in the world. Might also depend on what county and what state you live in, but for us living in San Francisco, we have access to both Hoopla and Libby. Hoopla is cool because not only do they have audiobooks, they also have ebooks, they have comic books, there's movies, there's soundtracks. Libby is just books, but they also have ebooks as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also, I think Hoopla is like always available, right?
There's yeah.
No wait.
Yeah, Hoopla, you don't have to wait at all. There's never like any amount of holds that you have to like wait for somebody else to get through before you have access to a book. So it's like an immediate download thing, which is pretty cool. But also I like Libby because not that Hoopla doesn't have like a time limit for the amount of times you are allowed to borrow a book, but Libby having to wait for a book and then having a limited amount of time to read it, I feel like I'm much more likely to actually get through the book.
And also, I feel like Libby has just newer releases.
Yeah.
If you're looking to read something that just came out, like Vanishing Half, when back in June, you might wait 11 weeks, but you still get it.
Yeah, I think for Vanishing Half, I was waiting for that book for 16 weeks for the audiobook.
Yeah.
But, you know, still fun.
That's me with The Midnight Library, because I think that came out a few months ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But I waited 10 weeks for it, and I forgot that I put a hold on it, and it got delivered, like, 2 days ago. And I was
nice.
Cool.
I'm still waiting for The Book of Longings, which just came out. I think I'm supposed to get that in 2 weeks.
Cool. Just enough time for me to get my ass in here and actually read it.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, do we want to talk about, like, the stigmas around audiobooks?
Yeah, so we've heard that some people don't think that listening to an audiobook counts as reading a book. or they're just entirely different experiences, so it's not equivalent. I disagree with that. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna say a big fuck you to those people. I mean, that's so elitist and ableist,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, not everybody has accessibility to all these texts. Personally, I would rather listen to an audiobook than read an ebook. That's just not for me. But I know, like, our friend Clem, she would prefer much rather to read an ebook than to listen to an audiobook. So it does play with personal preference.
Totally.
But personally, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do, like, audio narrative. So you're probably already a fan of audiobooks. But I don't know. It's just something I really like. I've listened to podcasts for a couple of years now. I've listened to audiobooks for pretty much the same time I started listening to podcasts, so mm-hmm. they kind of coincide with each other. But it's just a great way for me to actually meet my reading goal and to experience a wider variety of texts that I might not have read otherwise.
I totally agree. I love audiobooks. I didn't, like, start listening to them as much as I do now until, like, a year ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I listened to them casually, but it was, like, I was listening to, like, 5 audiobooks a year. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to, like, 30 audiobooks yeah. a year, at least. Like, yeah. in at least 2 a week. Not at least 2 a week. Oh my god. Usually 2 a week, sometimes 1 a week mm-hmm. for, like, the bigger ones. I love them. They make chores so much easier. They yeah. make writing emails so much easier, which I do half my day.
I love listening to a good audiobook while cooking.
Yes.
Like, I was listening to Me Talk Pretty one day while just doing chores around my house, making dinner the other day, and I was laughing and having such a fun time mm-hmm. getting all these, like, boring, not so fun tasks out of the way.
Yeah.
It made it a much more enjoyable experience.
Or going on a walk. Like, yesterday I finished Say Nothing after, I'm not kidding, 6 hours straight of Zoom, just mm-hmm. like perfect storm of Zoom meetings, and I was losing my mind, and I went on an hour walk just listening to an audiobook. And it was the most refreshing
so nice.
Thing I could have done.
Yeah, even, like, long drives. Like, my parents live up in Oregon. We live in Northern California. When I've driven in the past to go see them, I'll listen to audiobooks the whole way mm-hmm. there and back. That's how I listened to Circe by Madeline Miller, which is a great book. And, like, I did, of course, you know, go listen to some music. It's good to switch things up every now and then. But that's time where I would have not been able, I mean, I can't read a physical book while driving.
I really hope not.
Yeah, I hope people don't do that. But it helped me get a book off of my TBR, off of that list, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a different experience, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. Also, it's an experience that can really help different people, like, get more into a text. Like, I work with a number of dyslexic students, and I always recommend for books that they're reading, if they can find an audiobook to read along with. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful for them. It's a very helpful tool for dyslexic people. And also, you know, people who have, like, ADD really enjoy having an audiobook for keeping them on track. I personally have used audiobooks in the past when reading a difficult text for a class or just on my own to listen to the audiobook of chapters that I've already read, just to help make my understanding more concrete, mm-hmm. which is a great tool. Highly recommend. I did that when I was reading Don Quixote for grad school.
Yeah. I do think it's a good option to have. For instance, we were talking about reading Great Gatsby together.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like that book very much, and I know August loves it so much. Maybe I'll have to feel differently whenever you read it. But I was like, I can't make myself read a physical copy, so I'm just going to listen to the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good way to get it off the list, but still to experience it.
Yeah. Do you feel like there are certain texts that you wouldn't want to listen to on audiobook?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, denser texts, I think, because I'm less inclined to pause and process when listening to an audiobook, because I get swept up in the narrative.
Yeah.
But, like, with, like, for example, Anna Karenina, one of my favorite books of all time, Maggie Gyllenhaal reads it, and I've been wanting to use an Audible credit for that one because, I mean, she's great. Uh-huh. I love that book, but I do feel like that's a book I need to read physically.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, I don't know, on my 4th reread or something. Yeah.
One day when you know it better.
Yeah. Exactly. What about you?
I feel the same way. Like, I wouldn't recommend listening to Ulysses as an audiobook, especially your first, second, third time through. I mean, I've read Ulysses 3 times in its entirety, and I wouldn't feel comfortable listening to it as an audiobook. Although I will say parts of it would be helpful to hear out loud, just for, like, the Irish slang and everything, to see how it's used in the combination of words. So it might be a good tool for that, but definitely not for a starter read. Also, there's just, like, some books where, I don't know if this is just me, like, a individual quirk, but, like, it just feels wrong to not have a physical copy and not to annotate. So maybe having an audiobook alongside of it to listen to, but some books I feel like I just really need to have it open. I need to have a pen in my hand, and I need to be able to underline and annotate the pages, you know?
I totally agree. And I think you brought up an excellent point that it doesn't have to be either or. You mm-hmm. could use them together, and it's a great tool, especially if you're struggling to get into a book. Mm-hmm. Sometimes hearing it while you're reading it could mm-hmm. really pull you in.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot of people who have listened to Little Women while reading it. And Little Women is a book that I really want to read, but every single time I've tried, it's mm-hmm. been boring. I haven't enjoyed it. And I love the movies of it so much. And so I've heard some people saying that listening to the audiobook really helped them get into it. So I think I might try that.
That's good. Yeah, I think so too. I've had the same experience where I get literally two chapters in, if that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this sucks.
Let's just go watch the Greta Gerwig film adaptation.
So yeah. I watched it twice in a week one time.
Remember when we saw that in theaters together?
Yeah, we cried and drank wine mm-hmm. back when movie theaters existed.
Yep.
That was such a great time.
What a good time. Nothing like getting wine drunk in a movie theater. My favorite activity.
I agree.
Or just getting drunk in a movie theater, Castro Theater, you know what's up. Yeah, I miss movie theaters.
Let's cry. Okay.
Anything else you want to note about audiobooks before we jump into our lists?
I just love them. Yeah. That's it.
They're great. Great resources. Super entertaining. I mean, if you like podcasts, you'll probably like audiobooks as well.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, Kendra, what is your first honorable mention? We each have three honorable mentions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're also going to note this is spoiler-free introductions to these audiobooks.
Yes. So definitely we're not going to ruin any big plot points.
Mm-hmm.
God, I hope not. So the first one, I hope this isn't a cop-out because it's a short story, but I think it's phenomenal, and that's Story of an Hour by Kate Chopin, mm-hmm. which is a great short story, but I think there's a really good audiobook version of it by Emma Hignett. Sorry if I'm butchering your name. This version of the short story is actually on Spotify, so available to anyone who has a Spotify
account. This one of those, their new ones that they came out with?
No, it's actually a bit older. I'm sure maybe it exists mm-hmm. in other places. This is where I found it and listened to it.
I did not know till recently that Spotify had audiobooks.
I love Spotify. I'm totally a Spotify fan. Mm-hmm. And I think this one's great because it has like a ticking clock in the background and it has like just like other sound effects. It's great.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay. What's your third honorable mention?
It's Say Nothing by Patrick Radin Keefe, read by Matthew Blaney. And I listened to this on Libby for free. I know you listened to this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you love a beautiful Irish accent and you want to learn about Irish history, specifically the Troubles, highly recommend Say Nothing.
And that brings me to my second honorable mention, also Say Nothing. Yeah, the only reason I think it's not on my main list is when I was making this list, I hadn't yet finished it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to like highlight it in case I finished it. But uh-huh. it's one of the best audiobooks I've ever read. Highly recommend. Super informative. I'm mm-hmm. going to get a physical copy. Mm-hmm. I think we both said this, I think, last episode.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, this is a great audiobook. Definitely also want to get a physical copy. The only reason why it wasn't in my top choice is because I feel like I've already talked about it a couple of times. So
yeah,
good to discuss new texts.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So then what's your number two?
As mentioned earlier with the book that I just finished, it's Me Talk Pretty One Day by David Sedaris, and it's read by David Sedaris on Hoopla. And I always love when a memoir is read by the actual memoirist. This is just such a funny and wonderful and beautiful collection of stories from David Sedaris' life. My favorite were the ones that involved his parents, specifically when his parents got dogs. If you've heard that story, you probably know why it's my favorite. Also, just because dogs are involved, and I love dogs, so.
Good yeah, point.
But it's so funny. And I feel like I haven't laughed out loud to an audiobook that hard in quite a long time. And I already have another one of his books downloaded on Libby to listen to. So what's your next honorable mention?
And that's Passing by Nella Larsen, but specifically the one narrated by Tessa Thompson. So this is an Audible exclusive, but it was worth it, truly. We stan Tessa Thompson.
Yes.
We love her. She really conveys a lot of emotion and anger and desire and the agony kind of portrayed. I think it's great.
I'm so excited for the movie to come out.
Yes! Which Tessa Thompson will be the main character. Yay! And it's going to be really fun.
Wait, is she Claire or...
I think she's Irene.
Irene? Okay.
I think. I could be wrong.
Whoever she is, I'm excited to see her do it.
She can do anything she wants.
Yeah.
She can play all the parts.
Oh, imagine? Oh, yes. I would love. Okay. Wow. I can't get that image out of
my head. I know, it's so great. Just that there's an image already released from the movie. Well, you saw it, the one you showed me.
Uh-huh.
So, folks at home, look it up. I think it's on Netflix's. Is it on Netflix?
I saw it through Penguin's Instagram.
Okay, check out Penguin's Instagram.
It's somewhere. It might have been a story. Who knows?
Check the internet. You'll find it. Tessa Thompson passing.
Yeah.
All right, so then what's your number one pick? Or not, sorry, your number one honorable mention.
Okay, so this would be my number one pick.
Oh.
But no, I've talked about it too many times. And that is Patti Smith's Just Kids, read by Patti Smith. I have no idea how many times I've already brought this book up, but I do not care because I love it. If you want to learn about Patti Smith's experience in New York throughout the 60s and 70s, specifically her relationship with Robert Mapplethorpe, I highly, highly, highly recommend Just Kids. I think you can tell how much I love it just because I've already brought it up so many times. This would be my number one on it if I hadn't already listed it as my favorite book of all time, my favorite non-fictional book of all time. It's just the best.
Yeah.
It's all I think about all the time. Lives in my brain, rent-free, and I'm happy with that.
It's funny, any list episode we come up with, I think Patti Smith is going to show up.
Oh, I'll find a way. Patti always has to have her place.
We'll talk about the romantic era. Well, you know what's real romantic?
You know who loves the romantics? Patti Smith. There's a video of her reading Tiger, Tiger. Is that by Wordsworth or Blake? It's Blake. By one of the it's romantic Blake. Poets. Yeah. There's her reading that. There's also a video of her reading from the Ballad of Reading Jail at the prison in which Oscar Wilde was imprisoned. Cell C-33. So
this is Patti Smith podcast.
Yes. I can find a way to reference her anytime. Okay. So let's go into our proper list. Tell me, what's your fifth favorite audiobook?
Okay, so it's one I read recently, and that's The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern, narrated by Jim Dale. It's on Libby. That's how I listen to it. I'm sure it's other places as well. I know it's definitely on Audible, but if it's free on Libby, listen to it on Libby. And I chose this one because accents. I love an accent. Uh-huh. As an American person, I know I have an American accent, but it's all in a Scottish accent.
Beautiful.
And I think I've mentioned before, it's about this like kind of magical, mysterious circus that kind of just appears in places, and it's set in Victorian London, and actually other places other than London, but it's centered in London. Mm. And it centers around two young magicians named Margot and Celia, loving them. Where was I going with this? Okay, so the whole point of the Night Circus is it kind of actually is the center of this game between them. Mm-hmm. And lots of things I won't mention, spoiler free, kind of ensue because of this game. It's great. It's fun if you just want to get swept up. My only criticism is I wish it had been a full cast. The narrator is great, but him doing the women's voices is kind of ridiculous at times. And he's this very burly Scottish man. Mm-hmm. But it's still great. I think most people would enjoy it. It was a quick audiobook. And if you just want an easy, easy listen, I'd recommend it.
Beautiful.
All right. What about your number five?
My number five is East of Eden by John Steinbeck. This is actually the first audiobook I ever listened to. And big Lady Bird energy. I listened to this with my mom while driving to check out colleges in Northern California. This was years before Lady Bird came out, I will just say. It's a very similar experience.
The original Lady Bird.
Surprise, it's me. But it's East of Eden by John Steinbeck. I listened to this. I actually don't have the narrator listed because I could not find it anywhere. I listened to this on Audible like 7 years ago now, and I still remember it being absolutely fantastic. I know there's a number of free versions available on Hoopla, Libby. There's also paid ones on Audible and also free ones on YouTube, if you're okay with that. East of Eden is just a fantastic text by Steinbeck. I would say that it's probably my favorite. I am very interested in California-based literature, and, you know, John Steinbeck's kind of known for that. It's in the Salinas Valley in the early 20th century, which we've actually been to the John Steinbeck Museum and his house, where he was writing this book. So fun little moment. Yeah. And so it's in the Salinas Valley, and the novel brings to life the detailed lives of members of both the Trasks and Hamiltons, specifically Adam and Charles Trask, and then the beautifully evil Kathy Ames. Mm. Kathy is a character.
I
will not
say
anything, but she is by far my favorite Steinbeck character out of any of his books, and if you've read East of Eden, you'll know why.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want a California-based character-driven novel, I highly, highly, highly recommend listening to East of Eden. I know earlier we were talking about, like, there's some, like, big canonical books that we wouldn't want to listen to just because of their status or just how we would approach them normally. This is one that I think is totally okay to listen to. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to this audiobook, and it started my love for audiobooks.
Good to know.
Yeah. So what's your number four?
That's Norse Mythology by
Neil Gaiman. I love him.
I know. I still need to read American Gods. You tell me all the time. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be great. But this one's great. Neil, my good pal, first name basis, and he reads it himself. He's obviously mm-hmm. great. I think he reads all of his books.
Not all of them, but he'll read sections of some of them.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, he narrates Norse Mythology. It was fantastic. It's on Libby. It's, I think, elsewhere as well, but I listened on Libby.
I think I listened to it on Hoopla.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I loved it. If you're interested at all in Norse mythology, I have a big obsession with Freya. Mm-hmm. I love her, but also Loki's fun. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth it, even if you know nothing. I mean, especially if you know nothing, because mm-hmm. it's a great introduction.
Yeah.
It's a really fun narrative. And I listened to it while I was living in Ireland mm-hmm. and traveling Ireland. I was on a bus at one point going from one place in Ireland to the next, and it was like a 4-hour bus ride. And it was just phenomenal to look over the landscape and the hills and to see mm-hmm. the sheep, but listen to like this mythological setting that has kind of a big stake in Irish literature, mm-hmm. though maybe more so English literature, but it is connected in some bit. Yeah. And it's great. I would recommend it.
Yeah, that's a really fun one. Mm-hmm. It's very typical Neil Gaiman in the best way possible.
He does such a great job. Mm-hmm. I love his approach to mythology. Mm-hmm. Anytime.
You gotta read American Gods.
I really do. And it's fun. I keep saying it's fun because it really is. It was like a super short, I think it was 9 hours.
Probably less than that, honestly. Yeah, it's a quick read.
And I might re-listen to it at some point because it's just, you get so swept up. Mm-hmm. He's such a phenomenal writer, obviously. And it really honestly feels like you're being taken off this boring mm-hmm. planet and lifted to be among the gods.
Taken into Neil Gaiman's world, which is the only place I want to be. Yeah. Also, he has a beautiful voice. Yes. I don't know how he is so lucky to be such a talented writer and also just have that wonderful accent. But yeah. Neil Gaiman, we're fans.
Yeah, and a lot of stories are funny. Like, yeah. As most like classical myths are, there's a bit of ridiculousness mm-hmm. to it. And
yeah, and that's such a Neil Gaiman style to really highlight the ridiculous nature of a lot of these myths. I mean, he does that in American Gods and some of his other books as well.
Yeah.
But God, what a man. I love Neil Gaiman so much.
I totally agree. Yeah. All right, so then what's your number four?
Not so fun.
Oh.
It's The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath, but it's read by Maggie Gyllenhaal, who you also said read Anna Karenina.
Yes.
I mean, Maggie Gyllenhaal doing anything, I'm going to be a fan of because it's Maggie. We love her. But just some background on Bell Jar, which I listened to for free on Hoopla for immediate download. It's the life and struggles of Esther Greenwood, who it's semi-autobiographical to Sylvia Plath. But Esther Greenwood is a talented and beautiful young woman who struggles with her mental health and self-harm. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful book. This is the first time that I actually read all of The Bell Jar in its entirety was listening to Maggie Gyllenhaal reading it. As I was saying with East of Eden, this is one that I totally think it's okay to go in without having read it before, reading a physical copy before. Listening to this audiobook, it is a relatively short read, so that might play into it as well. But just Maggie Gyllenhaal reading it, I feel like made a lot of the emotion feel more real and more present to me as the reader, and I would highly recommend it.
I mean, I love that book, and like you said, we love Maggie Gyllenhaal, mm-hmm. so I do want to listen to her narrate it. Yeah. Maybe next time I read it.
What's your third?
That's Daisy Jones and the Six by mm-hmm. Taylor Jenkins Reid.
I thought you were going to bring this one up.
Yeah, I love this audiobook so much. Mm-hmm. I honestly can't tell you if I would have liked the book if I hadn't listened to it.
Okay.
Because I felt burned by Evelyn Hugo, and I do like this one a lot more. I think having the full cast really makes the experience. So if you've never heard of this book, sorry, I'll give a quick synopsis. It follows kind of this band who was a band before, I can't remember their name now, but they were a band, they were never like the Six by themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of set in the 70s, it's like rock and roll, 60s to 70s. And it is told in interview styles. So in present day, these band members are reflecting on their time back, like back on their time when this established band decided to form a band with Daisy Jones, who is this like hot chick. Like she was very talented, but also extremely troubled. And it kind of chronicles, it was a very brief time they were together because mm-hmm. they were both separate performances and came together. Sometimes it's like catastrophic that they're together. There's explorations of drug addiction, temptation, and being in the music industry, mm-hmm. definitely sexism. It felt like I was really listening to these people talk about their lives, and it was just a great narration of
almost
it.
Almost like you're, like, watching a Fleetwood Mac documentary or something.
Literally, that's what it felt like. Or, like, a true Hollywood story, where they're all kind of revealing stuff. And also, it's really fun for me to read books in this style, because it all centers around one event that you're leading up to, and you know there's going to be this big event, you don't know what it is, but everyone has a very different perspective as to what led to it. And so... it was great. I really recommend it. It was really short. I think I finished it in like a day or two because I was like, I don't know. Or maybe I just loved it so much. And it's like a proper full cast, like actual actors. There's also going to be a show on Hulu, I think, or Amazon Prime. Which I think is going to be really fun in a show format, because the only thing that I think was not great or that I missed for the book is they talk about these songs all the time, and all I want to do is hear the songs that they're talking about. There is, at the end of the audiobook, one of the songs, there's like this major song called like Honeycomb or something that like leaps the band into like unprecedented success. And they have it at the end, but it's just instrumental. It's not at all with words, which I want the words. And just looking up the cast right now, I realize this is 100% based on Fleetwood Mac, and Daisy Jones is based on Stevie Nicks.
Well, yeah, it seems like it.
I thought that was just kind of like, I thought it was based on like an amalgamation of other bands, but.
Well, I mean, Fleetwood Mac was a band of people cheating on each other and hating each other the entire time and loving each other, but.
But also,
very chaotic, especially the Rumors era Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, and definitely those vibes, I think.
Well, I love Fleetwood Mac, so maybe I'll have to check that out.
It's fun, yeah. It's a great audiobook, I think.
Is it, so you said that it's one that you're very glad that you listened to instead of reading a physical copy?
Definitely.
Nice.
And that brings us to your number three pick.
Yes. My number three pick is also a book by Neil Gaiman, and it's American Gods. American Gods is one of my all-time favorite books. I'm actually in the middle of watching the television show of it right now, so it's very present in my mind. I just love Neil Gaiman so much. This, I also listened to Good Omens, which almost made this list. It's that's by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. Super, super fun. But also you could just go on YouTube and watch video compilations of the television show of Aziraphale and Crowley just being super cute together. But that's for another time. But American Gods, I recommend the 10th anniversary full cast edition. That's the one that I listened to. I listened to it on Hoopla. It's no longer available on Hoopla, but it is on Audible. And it is so much fun. There are free versions of this audiobook available, and those might be just as enjoyable. I'm only sharing the one that I have personally listened to. But this book was so good. I was about to go visit Kendra when she was living in Ireland, and I had downloaded this book for the flight there. I had like a whole day of traveling, and the day before I had to do some work for my university, and I was organizing some books, and I was there for 6 hours, and I listened to the audiobook the entire time. This is a long book. This is, I think, like almost a 20-hour long audiobook, so I still had enough to listen to on the plane, finished it before then, or finished it while on the plane, but it was so good I just couldn't put it down. American Gods is a perfect book. I want to read the physical text of it. I never have, but I love it. It is, wow. You listen to Norse Gods and then listen to American Gods, or listen to American Gods and then listen to Norse Gods. They're perfect together. It's just, Neil Gaiman does mythology like nobody else. True. Highly, highly recommend. So in case you don't know what American Gods is about, it follows the life of Shadow while he is grieving the unexpected death of his wife, Laura, and the beginning of his bodyguarding job for the mysterious Mr. Wednesday, who is played by Ian McShane in the show, who I am obsessed with. He is in Deadwood and also in Hot Rod, and he is perfect casting. I just love it so much. The story combines elements of fantasy, mythology, Americana, etc. in an entertaining and entirely engrossing manner. Once you start this audiobook, you cannot put it down. It is just so good. And also, it's just, you know, Gaiman's writing, I feel like, is exceptional when read out loud, just because I feel like it really highlights the humor and also horror of his writing. Neil Gaiman does read parts of this book. He reads the foreword, and this one's nice because it's the unabridged edition. So there are chapters that were left out of the original publication, specifically chapters on Jesus Christ. It is fantastic. Neil Gaiman reads those chapters, and he like talks about the writing of American Gods and the time in which it came out. And I love it so much. I'm also halfway through the show right now. I'm on season 2. I highly recommend the show as well.
Okay.
Everything Neil Gaiman, I recommend. that I've seen.
Do you think the book needs to be read or listened to before watching the show? Or do you think they can kind of go?
I would say don't watch the show until you read the book. I'm watching it with my roommate and friend Clem, who she has not read the book before, and she's really enjoying the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun watching it when you know what's coming and different elements of it, because I feel like it often makes it more funny in a way. And also, it's very gory, so it's good to be able to expect that gore when it's coming.
Okay, good to know. I know I gotta read it.
It's so good.
Tell me for years.
It's by far my favorite Neil Gaiman book that I've read, and mm-hmm. I've read this, Good Omens, Caroline, I've read some of The Sandman, I've read half of Graveyard Book, and then I've read Norse mythology. It's just fantastic. I mean, it's his most iconic book for a reason.
Yeah.
It's great.
Neil Gaiman, unmatched.
We love him. Okay, what's your number two pick?
That is The Handmaid's Tale by Ooh. Margaret Atwood, narrated by Claire Danes.
Wait, what?
Motherfucking Claire Danes.
What?
Narrates this book. Yeah, and it's an Audible exclusive, I believe. Okay. When I listened to it, it was an exclusive, but so sorry, fuck Bezos, but like honestly.
He doesn't work there anymore. He's the first Amazon employee to get a break.
Yeah, but like.
But he'll still get the money.
Yeah.
But also fuck Bezos.
Yeah, fuck him. But honestly, Audible does have some hits. Mm-hmm. And so unlike the book, should I describe what the book's about?
Just give a little.
So it's about this town, country of Gilead, which has kind of taken over the United States. You don't really know how much of the United States is Gilead and is not really. Mm-hmm. Show gets more into it than the book does. But this book actually came out in the 80s. And it's a very, like, prototypical feminist dystopian novel mm-hmm. where in the not-so-far future, there is a government that exercises violent, violent control over women's bodies
mm-hmm.
because there's been, like, some, like, mass weird phenomenon of, like, conception dropping and, like, birth or death rates, infant death rates of, like, rising. Mm-hmm. And so they blame women, of course, because...
Men can never do anything wrong. Didn't you know that?
Of course not.
They're incapable of doing anything incorrectly.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you about it.
Of course, yes. And the show does a great job of breaking down what leads to that, but mm-hmm. in the book, you're kind of just thrown into the middle of it and not mm-hmm. giving a lot of context, and I like that. And so...
In medias res.
You love that. It centers around actually an unnamed handmaid, right? In the mm-hmm. book, she's unnamed. And her experience, it's really interesting. I'm not going to say much more else because mm-hmm. it's really nuanced and fantastic, but also extremely triggering.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely trigger warnings for sexual assault, sexual violence, many, many things.
Yeah.
Thoughts of suicide, depictions of suicide as well. And I think the audiobook actually, I'm going to argue, might be better than the physical book.
Oh.
Because this audiobook, this version of it with Claire Danes.
I mean, it is Claire Danes.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Is presented as found tapes. So like you've heard of found footage, uh-huh. but found tapes is obviously like a cassette or something mm-hmm. that I think the idea is that you're finding what was a secret recording from this handmaid's life.
Mm.
And it's really interesting. In between chapters, there's like music, and it's kind of like 80s music because it came out in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And there's also like the clicky turny sounds that tapes make.
For like rewinding and fast forwarding and all that.
Yeah. Nice. And so just like great production, I mm-hmm. think. And then at the end, my favorite is, like, this academic conference, which is in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But in the audiobook, you do feel like you're at the academic conference. Oh. And it's them discussing these found, well, in the book, because they're just reading it, it's found manuscripts or mm-hmm. whatever of this unnamed handmaid and what we know of Gilead. And, like, it's supposed to be set, like, years after the fall of Gilead, mm-hmm. which you actually never see. So mm-hmm. that's not a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sticking around for the academic conference, which is not part of the story, but kind of like...
It's in the Testaments, right? The academic conference?
No, it's in at the end of Handmaid's Tale. Okay. But it's like the... What is it? Afterward. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not the afterward. No, it's...
Epilogue?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Epilogue. I was like, prologue? Epilogue. It's the epilogue. Really great. Highly recommend. And it just brought me back to being... I was in it grad school when I listened to it, but it brought me back even further to that.
Yeah. I've only read the physical copy of Handmaid's Tale, and mm-hmm. that sounds great.
Yeah.
Claire Danes, hello.
Yes.
How can I resist really that?
Okay, so then what's your number two pick?
My number two is Silence of the Lambs by Thomas Harris, because it is read by Kathy Bates.
Mm-hmm.
This was available on Hoopla when I read it. I believe it is still available on Hoopla. Kathy Bates, in case you're like, oh, I know that name, but I'm not recognizing it. It's fucking Annie Wilkes from Misery.
How could you not also recognize Kathy Bates?
Also, unsinkable Molly Brown from Titanic. Just throwing that out there. Also just...
Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy Bates, living fucking legend. So cool. She reads this. I'm a little upset that Jodie Foster didn't read it just because Clarice. Yeah. I love it. Or Hannibal Lecter. Hello. My favorite. I'm a little biased going into this. Silence of the Lambs. I saw the movie when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
That explains a lot.
Yes, it does. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. I would say it's probably just below Rosemary's Baby, which if you know me, that's like my world. We'll not talk about the creation of that movie. We'll just talk about Mia Farrow. But Silence of the Lambs is a narrative that I am already obsessed with. So I knew going into this book, having seen the movie before, that I was going to like just the basic plot and the character development. There are some ways that it departs from the film. So just a quick breakdown in case you have not seen the movie or read the book. Clarice Starling, an FBI trainee, works with serial killer and cannibalistic forensic psychiatrist Hannibal Lecter to catch the serial killer Buffalo Bill, who skins his female victims in order to make a skin suit. Yeah.
Love it, but...
my favorite thing. What can I not love about this book? Kathy Bates reading it, especially her reading of Hannibal Lecter and also Buffalo Bill, is so spooky. I remember I was listening to this, I think, right after I visited you. So around the same time I listened to American Gods, actually. This was like my summer of audiobooks a couple years ago. But it was just so spooky. I remember I was listening to part of it while driving to go meet up with my reading group. I was reading Ulysses at the time, and I was driving through the Richmond district. It was daytime. It was probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon during the summer. And I was terrified because it was just so spooky. And that's what I want from a horror audiobook. Yeah. It's so good. Also, I just love Hannibal Lecter. So give him to me and I'll be happy.
Yeah. I gotta read that book because I also love that movie so much.
It's so good. I would say I don't remember the book being too different from the film, but I haven't reread the book, but I continuously rewatch the film. So, I mean, it was a great audiobook experience. It's on this list for a reason because Kathy Bates can do no wrong when it comes to her voice acting ability. You can just watch Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins be perfect and then listen to Goodbye Horses as Buffalo Bill continues to be an absolute legend. Okay, the time is here.
Okay.
The time has come. What is your favorite audiobook that you have ever listened to?
I love this book as a book itself, but I do think the audiobook is phenomenal.
Okay.
And that's Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo.
Nice, okay.
And I'm going to say the duology. So there's Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Both are great audiobooks. I do think they're also Audible exclusives. It's a full cast. So much fun. If you've read this book and enjoy this book, I think the popular consensus is that the reason it's so beloved is because the characters are just fantastic and so much fun. And I think Leigh Bardugo has a really great style of writing that can really craft fun, realistic dynamics between characters. I digress. I love this book. I also love everything she writes. Mm-hmm. She writes young adult fantasies, and I think some series of hers are better. This is my favorite one of hers.
Okay.
And I think this is actually just like a really fun book.
Okay.
And I think even if you don't like young adult or if you don't like fantasy, listening to Six of Crows will be an enjoyable experience for you because the characters are so fun and they're so different from each other.
Mm.
I will say halfway through book two, one character, Wyland's voice actor switches and it sucks. He is so annoying.
Why would they switch voice actors halfway?
I have no idea.
Huh.
It's, like, really bad. Or maybe it's the same voice actor and he just gets worse. I don't know, but it's a different halfway through.
Mm.
And, so it's a book about kind of set in this, like, Grisha universe. So if you know Leigh Bardugo, you know there's this Grisha universe of, like, magic based on imperialist Russia.
Mm.
And this is set in, like, a place called Ketterdam, which is inspired from Amsterdam. So picture Amsterdam. So there's six characters. They're all misfits. They're kind of brought together to pull a heist. And so it's a heist book.
Love.
And it's really fun. I think it's clever. I think that's a hard book to do, especially to get six different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And having the full cast, I think, really, really, really helps.
Yeah. Damn. May I ask, how many of your picks have a full cast? Because that's, like, something you seem to be really into.
I do. If a book or if an audiobook has a full cast, I'm more inclined to love it. So I actually think only two. But I did say I wished Night Circus had a full cast.
Oh,
that
yes,
would have brought it up further up.
Well, I mean, American Gods better be calling your name.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Is Audible, you said?
It's on Audible right now. I think there's different versions of American Gods on both Libby and Hoopla. I could be wrong on that, though. But the 10th anniversary edition, I mean, it's worth paying for. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Good to know. Okay. And that brings us your number one pick.
Okay. I'm excited for this one, as I am for every single one of them. And that's my number one pick is Strangers on a Train by Patricia Highsmith. It's read by Bronson Pinchot. I don't know who that is. So Strangers on a Train, read by Bronson Pinchot. This narrator, Bronson, wow. I am blown away. I had read a physical copy of this book as well as seen Alfred Hitchcock's adaptation of it, the film Strangers on a Train. The film was okay. The book is much better because the book pays more attention to Bruno, who Bronson narrates like nobody else could. So if you don't know about Strangers on a Train, it's the story of two men, Guy Haines and Charles Anthony Bruno, known as Bruno, whose lives become entangled after one of them, Bruno, proposes that they trade murders after they meet on a train. So they're strangers, and then they trade murders because they both have people that are ruining their lives, or they think are ruining their lives. So they're killing each other, or not killing each other. They're killing those people so they can't get caught because they're unconnected to the murders.
So they're killing the person that the other person does.
Yes. Okay, that's okay. They're killing the person that the other person would want dead.
Okay.
Yes. I see. A little convoluted, but Patricia Highsmith is the queen of a mystery. She's the queen of detective fiction in my heart. She also has a book called The Glass Cell, which I listened to on Hoopla as well. It's not as good as Strangers on a Train. Strangers on a Train After the Price of Salt is probably my favorite Patricia Highsmith novel, specifically because of the homoeroticism of Bruno. Bruno is a character who is constantly drunk, who is just a rich bitch. He is fucked up in so many ways, and the way that Bronson narrates him is so entertaining. He makes his voice incredibly high-pitched whenever he's voicing Bruno. It kind of plays in with this idea that was popularized by the film noir Laura because of the character Waldo Leidecker about the idea of, like, the gay villain, which is very much, like, of this era, and it's still standing today. If you look at Disney villains, a lot of times in animated movies, they often have like a high pitch, often categorized as like gay male voice or seen as like gay male lexicon or dialect. That is very much done within this text, but I think there's a purpose to it. Also, Patricia Highsmith has so many queer characters throughout her many queer characters throughout her oeuvre. Bruno is just so well done. The way that Bronson, the narrator of this audiobook, presents Bruno is so cool because he slurs the words together. It's often high-pitched and it's just kind of like mumbled in a way that makes it seem very, very real. It's like when you're at a bar with your friends and like this old man comes up to you who's just like had way too many drinks and he just starts talking, but it's like almost entertaining in a way. But you're also like, please get the hell away from me. I do not want to talk to you. But that's very much Bruno's energy in this audiobook. I read this for a class, so I listened to it after completing it just to help refresh my mind. And it was so entertaining. I listened to the entire thing. Oh. And I've listened to it since then, specifically for how the reader narrates Bruno. It's just so fun. Highly, 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 highly recommend.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good.
Also, if you just like love a good mystery and you want something from like the film noir detective or pulp fiction era of detective fiction, Patricia Highsmith is a great person to go to. She has that book, The Glass Cell, that I've also mentioned, but she also did the Talented Mr. Ripley series. So if you've seen that movie with Matt Damon and Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow, she wrote that. She's just fantastic. Highly, highly recommend Patricia Highsmith. And I think a lot of her books are available for audiobook on Hoopla and Libby.
Cool.
Yeah.
Never read Highsmith.
Not even Carol? The Price of Salt? Oh, God.
But you were saying that the movie might be better, right?
I like the movie a lot for Carol. Yeah. I think there's just something about Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara's chemistry. So I just love them both so much. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, we covered a lot of ground with our variety of audiobooks.
I love audiobooks.
Yeah. So just to recap, good places to listen, Hoopla, Libby.
Audible, LibriVox, YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube's a big one. If something's in the public domain, you can easily find it on YouTube. Also, there's a website that I've used before called Lit2Go mm-hmm. that has a variety of like poetry, essays, some longer books. Really like that one for their narrations as well.
Definitely. And even Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
So like when I was writing my dissertation and I was rereading Paradise Lost, I was listening to Paradise Lost on Apple Podcasts. Not great. I think Paradise Lost is great read aloud, but it was definitely, you know, those old LibriVox recordings.
Where this is Elizabeth Klett.
Yeah, it's very robotic. And so I actually benefited more from reading it aloud to myself. But those do exist if you want them.
Awesome. Well, good to know. I've never used Spotify or Apple Podcasts for audiobooks before, but I might have to do that.
Yeah, I think Spotify's now trying to step it up with their audiobook game. But generally, honestly, I think like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, I think they're the LibriVox recordings or they're just like public domain recordings. They're not fantastic.
Huh.
Except Story of an Hour. That one's great.
Okay. Awesome. So Kendra, tell me what we're going to be talking about next week.
We are actually going to be covering The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Really old sport.
Oh my gosh.
Gatsby? What Gatsby?
If you could see my face. This August is very exciting.
So excited.
I really don't like this book.
I love F. Scott Fitzgerald, but you know who I love more? Zelda Fitzgerald.
I love her. There is a great fake memoir on her called Z. Z for Zelda. It's been a few years. I lent it to Emily many years ago. I've not seen it since.
Oh.
Which is fine. I don't think I've ever read it, but it was really fun. I love Zelda, yeah.
Yeah. Iconic. I'm super excited to talk about this book. I know a lot of people have to read it for school. You know, 1920s lit.
Mm-hmm.
People don't always like it so much. I am a big fan.
Yeah, I do love Jazz Age literature.
Mm-hmm.
I just really don't like Gatsby. I think I had to read it in high school, and I don't know, maybe I just hated it then. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to reread it for the podcast, and maybe my opinion will change.
And then maybe I can coerce you into reading a bunch of other works by F. Scott.
I do, actually, I've read...
The Side of Paradise?
No, the
Diamond
other one.
Diamond as Big as Ritz.
There's another one.
Benjamin Button.
Oh, well, yeah, I've read that one. It's fine. Oh, but I do want to read The Side of Paradise.
So good. For Amory Blaine.
I listened to
an audiobook of it, and the reader was like, Amory Blaine! And it was super...
Fine. I think I just don't... I think my aversion is I hate Fitzgerald.
He is a dick.
Yeah. And also him and Hemingway.
Yeah, the toxic masculinity is really out of control. But you know what? We just push that aside for a second and focus on the homoeroticism within Gatsby. And then I will lose my mind.
And I'm excited to read Gatsby now with this lens of are him or Daisy passing? Because I think that would actually elevate the text for me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to actually listen to the audiobook of it. And do you know who narrates that?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
So maybe, who knows, maybe it will be a full 180.
Imagine if him and Maggie did an audiobook together about siblings. Imagine.
Ooh.
Imagine.
What book can they do?
We'll think of one. And we'll let them know. But wow. Okay.
You know what to do if you are excited to read any of these books. If there are audiobooks you think that we'll like, message us on Instagram, Book Dumb Podcast. You can also email us, I guess, if you don't have Instagram.
Yeah, we never bring up our email.
Yeah, I just realized that's also bookdumbpodcast@gmail.
Yeah.
And there's a link to that. You can email us actually directly from Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can that email is also listed on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Whatever you prefer.
Just reach out. Get in contact. If you want to talk to us personally, you can find me, August, at my Instagram, which is Iggy Poop.
And me, Kendra, on my Instagram at Kendra Lapp.
Wonderful. And if you could, wherever you're listening right now, if you could subscribe or follow on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you could also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, if you had the time, if you could leave us a 5-star review, maybe write a couple words down. Let us know how you're feeling. Let us know what you would like us to do. We would really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much to everyone who's already reached out, who's already left a review. We really appreciate it. I can't tell you how much it makes our day when we get a sweet message.
And even if we get one that we need to work on ourselves, you know what?
Yeah.
Personal growth. We're here for it. We're here to grow. We're here to learn.
We welcome that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we hope that you're having a lovely day.
Bye.